Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed and I welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday. It is the 9th of March, 2015. Hope you had a great weekend. What a lovely weekend it was. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream the show. Make it very easy for you. You can either go to buckmastershow.com or KVOI.com. You'll find the live stream right there. And if you'd like a podcast of what we do in our complete show archive, again, it's buckmastershow.com, and you can go to that 24/7 anywhere in the world to hear the programs. We begin with our Monday political face-off. At 12:30, we will have a newsmaker interview with University of Arizona President Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Certainly, we have a lot to cover during this hour. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for you, 790-2040. In our Facebook page, Bill Buckmaster, we went over 4,000 friends over the weekend. So thank you to all of the friends of the Buckmaster Show. Every Monday, we kick things off with the Monday political face-off. Bruce Ash is here. Mr. Ash, seated to the right of me in his third four-year term as Republican National Committeeman for Arizona, and Jeff Rogers, a prominent local attorney and former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. Jeff has been involved with Democratic politics for a long time. The Monday face-off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. They do an A-plus job there. Art for your walls. They've got some great art at the gallery. Picture framing, of course, again, give them an A-plus. And you have to hand it to Moe. He'll come out and he will hang everything for you. They have a complete hanging service and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and of course on Facebook. Jeff and Bruce, how was your weekend?
Wonderful. I thought the Wildcats looked unstoppable. If Ashley and Tarzewski play like this, sky's the limit. We can go all the way. If they're inconsistent like they were in some of the earlier games, we could have some problems. But boy, if they play like this, I think we could go all the way.
Yeah, I think we really saw with those two playing so well the last couple of weeks and kind of renewed intensity with Tarzewski and with Ashley being able to hit from outside as well as real strong at the post position, we're maybe peaking at the right time.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Jeff grew up in Indiana, and Jeff, well, I grew up in Illinois, and basketball is a big deal where we grew up. And I know that high school tournament becomes just a huge deal in Indiana.
Oh, when I was there, they didn't have class basketball. All of the teams played in 64 sectional sites, and then it winnowed it down to a Final Four and then a state champion. And so it was kind of like that movie Hoosiers.
I watched that last night. That was a very realistic
movie as to what it was like back there in those days. And now they've gone to class basketball, and now it's not nearly as exciting.
Yeah, the little school could go all the way. That was always fun. Tomorrow, a federal judge is expected to decide the future of the so-called pod people in downtown Tucson. These are homeless people who have chosen to reside in wooden coffin-like boxes. Bruce, how much blame do you assign to the all-Democrat council for the pod problem?
Well, certainly there's not been any kind of a change in the condition. In fact, it's got worse. I completely concur with anybody exercising their First Amendment rights, but defecating down the air shaft at the county building doesn't exactly qualify, I think, as to what the framers and the founders of the Constitution were thinking about. Kudos to the Tucson Police Department. They listened. They were observing. They had an undercover narcotic street team who was looking at things there. They made several arrests last week. One of them, John McClain, the so-called spokesman and leader of the pod people. He's no more really than just another common criminal who is selling drugs and using drugs. And it's sort of sad, but that's the trap.
Do you want
that
to put alleged common criminal in front of that?
Well, he was.
Hasn't been proven guilty
right,
yet.
Yes. So I'm going to put it there.
Okay.
Alleged.
Well, I'll let you do that. You're a journalist.
Yes. Alleged common.
I'm just somebody who's talking.
Would the Republicans, if they were in majority on this council, Jeff Rogers, would it make any difference with this pod problem?
Well, let's talk about George Bush and the judge he appointed, David Burry, who also was a Republican and also a very good lawyer before he took the bench, and has been a great judge. And I was a little surprised that Judge Burry issued the order that he did. And I find it very disappointing. We've done so much. We've finally gotten past the days when Rio Nuevo was a mess. Downtown is booming. I mean, it's just booming, with the exception of a few things. We lost a nice restaurant that didn't make it downtown. But what you have to do is look at these people and separate out. Some of these people are homeless people who are homeless because they're vets with PTSD. You've got people who were who have mental health problems. You've got people who have physical health problems, age problems, the kinds of people that when you go out and you give them social services, that they will respond to those social service agencies, and it helps get them off the street. Now, that's not to say that we have an ideal program to deal with homelessness. Phoenix, in a way, is a little bit better than we are at dealing with homelessness, and Portland even better. They've shown by example that you can really get a handle on the homeless population if you aggressively treat it at the core of the problems. But there are some people down there, and I won't say it's the majority of them, but Peggy Hutchison.
Some portion.
Peggy Hutchison, I was quoted in the paper the other day. She's the head of Primavera. Mm-hmm. And, some of these social agencies would go down there and offer services to some of these people, which could include a bed to sleep in, meals, mental health treatment, other things. And some of these people just refused them. Now, some people are so mentally ill that they will refuse these things. But, when you see a young, able-bodied person walking their puppy around on a leash, and, you're wondering, okay, is this a person who's making a lifestyle choice to live outside? And there are some of those people down there, and I encounter them on a daily basis. Remember, my office is downtown. I walk between mm-hmm. there and the courthouse, and so I get to see this every day. So there are some of these people that are there to make a statement and exercise some First Amendment rights, but there are others there that this is just how they want to live their life. And separating those out is something that we need to aggressively treat homelessness so that we can get the people out of there that need help, want help, and would be amenable to that help. But it's a real problem, and it's got to come to a head here soon. I don't think you can blame the city council. When you've got a judge, federal judge, we're not our majority on that council, and the city attorney, they aren't going to thumb their nose at Judge Burry. Hmm. I mean, you can go be ahead, held in contempt for that, and I don't think I would recommend anybody do that.
Well, the one member of the city council who I think has been as outspoken as anybody else has, maybe combined, is Steve Kozacek. And Steve has tried to suggest different solutions. He has largely been unsuccessful in getting a solution from the rest of the council members. I know Jonathan Rothschild's history with homelessness and with not personally, but his championing the cause, and he is a very, very strong believer in helping end homelessness and certainly helping people who are exposed at the cold time of the year. Unfortunately, the council has not reached consensus on this point. Chief Villasenor and his task force has probably been the most effective agency so far at the city trying to do something about this. Unfortunately, they ended up being the ones who made the first move here. It'll be interesting to see what Judge Burry has to say this week. Some people have questioned whether or not City Attorney Rankin was really given the kind of a direction from the city council to aggressively go after this. I'm not going to question that, but certainly I think everybody in Tucson, whether you go downtown or you just are sort of a casual observer through the newspaper and TV and so on, we want to end to this thing.
I would agree with you on that. We want to end it. And maybe the solution is to create some other kind of homeless encampment that's away from downtown and that doesn't interfere with the progress that we so richly deserve of the things we've done downtown.
Any takers, Bruce? A couple of weeks ago, you actually put out your your cell phone number mm-hmm. on the radio during your This Is What I Believe commentary that you do on this radio station, asking for candidates to run. You have not had any bites.
Not at all. No, we're in negotiations with several very, very interesting and interested individuals in the community who are talking with us at this time. And I think we'll have some announcements shortly. And, you know, when we recruited Steve Kozacik, it started right here in this radio station on the Inside Track show. And it was about this time, maybe a week or 10 days or so later than what we did in 2009. So it's not too late. We have...
Thanks for recruiting Steve there.
Well, I have probably had it, and I think we've been on the same TV show over at the other place when we had some of the most combative conversations with Steve. But let's face it, on most issues, the reason that you or I would appreciate a guy like Steve is, you know, he is very, very thoughtful. He has some views that have made a lot of sense for the city of Tucson, and I applaud him.
He works awfully hard to inform himself of what the issues are and what the real facts are behind these issues. And so, yeah, he's done a great job. I'm just glad he came to his senses and realized he was a Democrat after all.
the deadline is coming up, though, right? I think it's early April.
The signatures aren't due until sometime after that.
I think you have to announce by then.
Form a
committee.
Okay.
Yeah. But we're way.
All right, we're going to change topics, so we're going to take a break right here. It's 12:16 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash coming up at 12:30. The president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, to join us right after this.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, 5 kids, 2 grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at 5-Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
New 5-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
At Perfection Auto Works, we can do everything from a simple tune-up, oil change, air conditioning, engine rebuild, or brakes. We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Volkswagen, Volvo, BMW, and Mercedes. We work on the whole thing, from the tires to the trunk lock. 323-8650. 323-8650. Our free 26-point inspection looks ahead for problems. 323-8650. That's 323-8650.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sorita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi. Wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us.
How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Twenty-one on the Buckmaster Show. Hello, I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Seated to the left of me, Jeff Rogers. To the right of me, Bruce Ash. It is our Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. The Arizona Daily Star editorialized on Sunday, Jeff, that the rush to push through the Arizona budget disrespects the public. This really came down in a matter of 2 or 3 days. It was over.
It was, and primarily the work of pushing it through was done in the midnight hours. I mean, there was an all-night session where the Republicans had to twist arms, and finally, in order to get it through the Senate by one vote, they basically bribed a Democrat that we never trusted to begin with from the Navajo County. His name's Carlisle Begay, and he basically sold out for $1 million in improvements to tribal areas infrastructure, which was pretty cheap buyout. But, you know, that was the bribe that put it over the line, because they didn't have enough Republican votes all by itself to put the package through. So, you know, it's a pretty embarrassing budget. I mean, Doug Ducey said something about this represents Arizona's values. Well, it represents values. It represents the values of some extremists in the Republican Party and Doug Ducey. And what it shows you is that they frankly don't give a damn about Arizona students. They don't care about businesses who say they need an educated workforce and people with skills to bring jobs here. They still believe in this never proven trickle down economics theory of that if we keep cutting and cutting and cutting taxes, businesses will come here. Well, ask Kansas how that worked for them. That government's about bankrupt, and Doug Ducey is basically promising to lead Arizona down that same road. And we're, you know, you look at $99 million cut to universities, just universities, eliminating entirely state supportive community colleges in Maricopa and Pima County, and mostly
that's a tough one.
County.
Pima County, Pima Community College eliminating, that's tough.
And they had already in budget years past cut $400 million from universities. And so, you know, what they're saying is that education doesn't matter in this state, and they want to keep us last in per pupil contributions to K through 12. And you know, it's penny wise and pound foolish. one of the other silly things they did is we get a 4-to-1 match for monies we spend on Medicaid, and so from the federal government. And so what they did is they decided they were going to try to cut by 5% the amount, and Ducey only wanted 2%, but either way, it's a cut to the healthcare providers. It's twofold. One, we're going to lose matching federal dollars. They may not approve it at the federal government. And on top of all of that, we're finding that healthcare providers are refusing to provide services with these cut fees. So, I mean, there really wasn't anything good you can say about this budget. I mean, we do have a structural deficit that we need to take care of, but these corporate tax giveaways of $100 million, they could have been postponed. I mean, even if you think that that's somehow going to generate economic activity, which there's no proof that it does, that you could have postponed that and had enough enough to fully fund education.
Bruce, this is the first structural balance in a budget since 2007.
Well, it may be. Jeff, I think I followed what you said. I think it's interesting that just last session when Ethan Orr crossed the aisle to vote for the governor's expansion of Medicaid. You called that courageous,
and when Mr. Begay
voted for the budget, which benefited him and his constituents in Navajo County and elsewhere, he was a sellout, and you know he ought to be taken out and thrown to the wolves. I'm sure Democrats will have some sort of an answer for Mr. Begay.
Well, most of us backed his opponent, Ms. Peschlikai, who was in the legislature before that, and we suspected he would do something like this all along.
Well, the fact of the matter is that this governor's first agenda item that he had to accomplish was get a budget passed. The fact that they did it at night, the fact that they worked very, very hard on it, the fact that they may not have had as many hearings, pardon me, as you would have liked personally, Jeff.
That's transparency, and it wasn't just the Arizona Daily Star. The very conservative Arizona Republic came out with the same kind of an editorial where they said this betrays the voters. They want to do government in secret, so they won't be exposed to the kind of and people rallied pretty fast. Educators and university presidents. Yeah.
The Arizona Republic hasn't been a very conservative newspaper in years, and it's hardly a conservative newspaper at all. It certainly is more conservative leaning than the Arizona Daily Star. And it doesn't surprise me that the Star comes out in a knee-jerk reaction.
I don't consider Mike Varney at the Chamber of Commerce to be a flaming liberal. In fact, I know him, and he's a pretty conservative guy. And he and the Chamber came out against this budget as well.
And Mike Varney also and the Chamber also supported Rakina Romero and Adelita Grijalva. Okay. So, you know, don't be telling me about conservative Mike Varney.
Okay, let's go to the live line. Charles has been waiting patiently. He has a question for Jeff Rogers. Go ahead, Charles.
Jeff, reference whether or not the budget amount for schools is disrespectful of the state, or I don't remember the exact phrase. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but have you ever run a business?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I run a small business. It's a law firm, and that is exactly what it is, a small business. Sometimes I pay myself last. I have to pay all my employees first. It's a small business.
My real question for you is aren't they charging tuition? Because if they're not charging tuition, they have to start doing that. And if they are charging tuition, then they need to adjust their costs to equal their revenue. As you know, that to be true of any business. Why should we give any, except for facilities and payment, and capital costs?
Charles, I would agree with you if these were private schools. Absolutely,
I'm talking public schools.
Public schools provide a public benefit by providing in-state students with a less expensive tuition. Now, out-of-state students are paying a huge amount of money, and they're paying the full ride. But we would expect that public schools to help middle class and people who are challenged economically to be able to afford a college education, and that's been the mission. As a matter of fact, our Constitution Constitution says that college education in Arizona shall be as nearly free as possible to in-state residents. That's the words of our Constitution that was written over 100 years ago in this state.
All right, Bruce Ash.
If I can just make a brief comment, Jeff, the education subsidies K through 12 are the largest in history for Arizona.
Then why are we dead last in per pupil spending and have been for some time, Bruce? We're not keeping up with inflation and the costs.
They're larger than at any time ever in the history of the state, and there was specific emphasis on restoring educational dollars K through 12. In the case of the universities, and I graduated from the University of Arizona myself, I remember when I paid $225 a semester, but that was 40 some odd years ago. Arizona schools have the ability to charge tuition, and they have the ability to get grants, as opposed through public schools K through 12 who don't. The legislature did what they felt was in the state's best interest, going to the universities and cutting funding where those universities would be able to raise their fees and lower their expenses.
So we're now we now have some of the highest in-state and out-of-state tuition of any universities in America today. And so what we're pricing ourselves out of the market for the out-of-state students, and the out-of-state students somewhat subsidize and pay at least full fare and maybe more than full
and
fare.
And they're thrilled and to come here. And they're thrilled
pricing
to come
ourselves
here,
out
Jeff.
Of that game.
All they're right, thrilled well, to come here.
We're going to have to wrap it up. We will talk about higher education. Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, U of A president, will be next, but that's going to do it for the Monday Political Face-Off. Jeff Rogers, thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome.
And Bruce Ash, thanks, Bruce.
Pleasure, Bill, and pleasure seeing you, Jeff.
The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. We'll be right back.
Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amato is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, we'll hear from Carolyn Campbell. Ms. Campbell from the Sonoran Desert Coalition will tell us why she thinks a bond election is a good idea. Plus, the Every Other Tuesday Arts Report presented by Fox Tucson Theater. It's Buckmaster, noon to 1, each weekday on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and always on buckmastershow.com for anywhere in the world, live streaming, our podcasts, and show archive. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Monday edition. We push toward 12:35 on this lovely early March day here in Tucson, Arizona. Well, for many, many Arizonans, they are saying today is really a dark day for education in the state of Arizona. As Governor Doug Ducey expected, he may have already signed it. I think he's going to sign the budget today. It's a $9.1 billion budget that was passed early on Saturday morning. Joining us, the president of the University of Arizona, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart. Dr. Hart, good to see you.
Good to be here, Bill. Thank you.
It is a very difficult day. You, as the president of one of our three higher education institutions, those institutions taking a hit with this budget. Give us kind of the overview, the big picture of what this budget says about higher education.
I think that the message that I and many people at the University of Arizona take from this budget is that we need to envision a future for public higher education in our state and nation that involves a very different pact between the public and the university. We won't prosper as a society without world-class universities. So giving up our status as the place where new ideas get generated and then turned into solutions for grand challenges facing humankind, we don't give that up. That's important. But what does it mean then as we think about delivering an education post-secondary school and then pursuing those other very, very critical roles in addition while making sure that we can keep our doors open? The rethinking of that role will be a part of our task going forward. I hope with all my heart to be a part of the dialogue with the leadership of Arizona about what they want that long-range goal to be, what that role will be, and how we can have a stable policy environment in which to pursue the world-class excellence that has been a hallmark of the University of Arizona.
When you look at the cuts, nearly $99 million, this is on top of a cumulative $400 million. So we're talking now a half billion. We're moving, in my personal opinion, we're moving in the wrong direction here.
Well, certainly, as the previous guests discussed on your show, there is some question about what that role will be, especially in light of the 100-year-old Arizona Constitution, which laid out a role for public higher education quite different from that which has emerged since the major cuts of 2009.
The University of Arizona is a land-grant institution. What does that mean in the context of what we're seeing with this budget?
Our role as one of the 50 original, 50 when the 50 states were in place, the land-grant institutions that were brought into being by the Morrill Act in 1862 and then modified a few times over the years, is to serve as the source of research and education to promote the economic, social, and cultural well-being of the citizens of the United States. And to do that, land was granted to the states, the sale of which and property from would support the land-grant universities in our contribution. Our role explicitly is played out through our College of Agriculture and Life Sciences as we enact the cooperative extension role, and we have a presence in every county. If you go to our impact map on the website, you will see the U of A is present all over the state, and that cooperative extension role is unique to the University of Arizona. It places us at the heart of the role between research, education, and our universal well-being.
You look at Pima Community College now, which has been zeroed out. I think that's a huge mistake, my personal opinion. Also, the JTED program, the Joint Technological Education District, that's going to have some real issues now with Pima being zeroed out. There has been a movement at the legislature. You can call it anti-intellectual bias. You can call it a movement that higher education should strictly pay for itself, be privately funded. We are moving in that direction toward, I don't know if zeroing out is the right term, but we're going in that direction.
Well, it certainly looks like we're going in that direction. Current trends would indicate that. There is a major social debate whether higher education is an individual benefit or a societal benefit. And certainly the belief of those who passed the Morrill Act and of President Lincoln when he signed it. When the Morrill Act passed, the idea was that it was a social benefit and that it would help advance the well-being of all of us. We need to reawaken that debate and ask ourselves if we do have a stake in education as it benefits the entire society, and then how that might play out in a long-range view of the good that we hope comes to all of us as we seek and apply new knowledge to solve great problems and improve the quality of life of all the citizens of our state and nation. And we do all have a stake in that, and we need to have that debate, and perhaps we need to re-energize it.
Ann Weaver Hart, Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, the president of the University of Arizona, is with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're talking about the cuts to higher education, and we have had a couple of calls. Folks want to talk with Dr. Hart, and she is always welcoming to opinions. And I think Robert has been waiting the longest on the live line. So let's go to Robert, who has a question or comment for Dr. Hart. Go ahead, Robert.
Hi, Dr. Hart. The dilemma is that the students, the graduates, are not prospering. They're swamped in student debt, and there's no cost-benefit ratio left. So please defend the statement that the students are just the students, the band, and the football team is nothing but a dog and pony show for research, copyrights, patents, and medicine.
Okay, I'm not sure she made those comments, but go ahead, Dr. Hart.
Well, Robert, first of all, and let me take those in sequence. First of all, your statement that there is no benefit to the students is not accurate. We do know that over the course of a lifetime, the gap between the earnings of college graduates and those who have not graduated is actually widening and has widened dramatically since the 70s. So it may be widely misunderstood about that benefit to students. Additionally, the University of Arizona's graduates have been identified in international analyses as among the top 20 in employability in the nation in public universities. So our graduates do, in fact, have a very positive outlook. Thirdly, I think it's important to recognize that the students at the University of Arizona have a much lower debt upon graduation, under $22,000 as the average. And many of our students have have significant financial aid, especially those from very stressed economic backgrounds, and pay a very tiny proportion of the sticker price tuition that you see advertised. I think it's also important to point out that the other activities you describe are completely self-supporting.
Just athletics, the band, yeah.
Absolutely. And that tech transfer is also self-supporting. And so they are boats on their own bottom, so to speak. And as they do well, they have resources to spend. And when they don't do well, they don't. While we do provide tuition waivers, which is foregone revenue, other than that, we are one of the few universities in the entire country that has the kind of athletic department where the revenue sports like men's basketball and football generate sufficient revenue to support the entire enterprise. So it's important not to generalize the problems of some institutions to the University of Arizona and its role in the well-being of all of us.
Okay, it's 12:44 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll get to a couple more calls after we take a break. This portion of the Buckmaster Show brought to you by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. It's just a three-hour drive from Tucson if you're looking for something. Maybe a good time to get away on the weekend. Head over to Silver City. It's a lovely environment, historic downtown area with all the great shops that they have, the galleries, antique stores, museums, and really fine restaurants that have even been noted by the New York Times. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org, with a full listing of places to stay like Bear Creek Cabins. 12:45 on the Monday Buckmaster Show. Back with Dr. Hart right after this.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antique, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust.
That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Viro Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Viro Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Viro Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Viro Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Viro Amore on the web at viroamore.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. That's the bump music I really like, Ed. You know that's that group I like, Coldplay, with La Vida. Is it La Vida? Yeah, that's that song. Dr. Hart is with us, Ann Weaver Hart, president of the University of Arizona. We do have very good bump music, don't we? You like that group?
I do indeed, yeah. And we all need a good, energizing start to a beautiful Monday.
There you go. Jim has been waiting patiently, Jim Kelly on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. Jim, you're with the president of the University of Arizona.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Hart.
Good afternoon, Jim.
I'm not being flippant. I'm not joking. but could the School of Agriculture take some serious hard looks at the economic benefits of industrial hemp being raised in the state of Arizona?
The answer to that is yes. And in fact, it comes up frequently. For those of our listeners who might not realize it, hemp has been an important fiber resource to human beings for several thousands of years. And the relationship between the psychedelic impact of marijuana and the opportunities that hemp provides as a material need to be separated out as we look at crops going into the future. So it's not a flippant question at all.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Kelly calling at 790-2040. If you'd like to call in with a question or comment for President Hart, she's always a good sport about answering to the best of her ability our listeners' questions. All right, we've talked about the budget, but I want to move on to something that I think is potentially really good news, because this is going to put a lot of people to work. Over the weekend, the new redesigned Banner University Medical Center Tucson, they unveiled the Banner people 11-story tower, the plans for this, the rendering, a new main entrance. This is a big construction project, probably one of the biggest construction projects, Dr. Hart, that has come along in a long time.
Oh, absolutely. And not only is it a big construction project, but this is essentially a new hospital for the citizens of Southern Arizona. And it's new in so many ways. The Banner Health System brings modern ways of delivering medicine to all of us, to all of our well-being. The partnership through the academic affiliation agreement between Banner Health and the University of Arizona will have a major impact on academic medicine at the University of Arizona through our two medical schools, but also, I believe, nationally in shaping the future of our medical schools in a rapidly changing healthcare environment. Peter Fine and I were featured in a story in Modern Healthcare. We were interviewed by the Wall Street Journal last week. People are paying attention to the incredible partnership and commitment to each other as institutions with differing knowledge and talent bases that we represent. And I'm thrilled at the future that this makes possible for all of us.
Banner's intent is to really rebuild an aging building that the building, let's face it, that goes back to 1971. The building, the medical facility on campus, that original facility. This construction project is expected to cost about $500 million or more, take 3 years, and it's going to employ a lot of people.
Oh, indeed. And to give you an example of how critically needed these facilities are, the operating theaters in the University Medical Center currently are about 350 square feet each. Modern cutting-edge medicine uses about 700 square feet for an operating room. And that's just the space that we need in order to accommodate all the incredible new instruments and techniques that are available. And all of that will now be a part of not only the education of the healthcare professionals into the future, but the treatment that all of us are able to receive here right in Tucson. Really important.
12:54 on the Buckmaster Show. The University of Arizona Regents in April will get together. They'll be setting the tuition. What kind of, now with this, how does this budget cut now play into that dialogue that will be going on with you and the other presidents?
We have to confront revenue, and a 14% cut in our general and education revenue through the state appropriation is far from trivial. We have at the University of Arizona a guaranteed tuition plan. So 3/4 of our students, both in-state and out-of-state, will see no increase no matter what we do, because the tuition that was accepted by them last year is guaranteed for 4 years. So we will have to think through a long-range plan. Any decision that we make at the University of Arizona will have to be integrated within a 4-year projection, not just a 1-year exigency. And that's very complex, and those models will be, we're working on them right now. I was going to say that will be run. Those models are being run. Our Strategic Planning and Budget Advisory Committee has already begun to talk about the issues that we will need to confront to make those decisions. But the fact of the matter is that we are in danger of eating our seed corn. And there are generations to come that need those crops. So we need to think about what that long-range picture looks like.
Let's clarify for people about the difference between the general fund and money that is actually the gifts that are dedicated to certain areas at the university. Because some people will look at, oh, well, the university's so rich, you know, there's a huge endowment and everything else. But the general fund money, well, you go ahead. You explain it to the
people.
Because it's such a critical point that kind of gets lost and under the radar screen here.
It does get lost. Think of it as designated dollars with legal restrictions on how they can be spent. So most of us who give to charities, and almost 99% of gifts that come to the University of Arizona are restricted for use by those donors for the purposes for which they were given. It is a violation of the gift agreement with those donors to spend those dollars on anything but the purposes for which they were given.
Those are legal agreements between the potential donor and the University of Arizona, i.e. the Board of Regents.
They are, and certainly we wouldn't want to break those agreements or that good faith. In addition, the research grants, the grants and contracts for specific activities are also restricted by law. And in fact, in the case of federal granting agencies, we could go to prison for violating those restrictions. So those funds are critical to the university. We work very hard to secure those funds for very specific activities. Those funds are not available for general fund expenditures on our core education mission. That money comes from unrestricted dollars, primarily state appropriations and tuition.
Yeah, and it's that kind of gets lost in the whole picture here, that when they talk about cuts, these are cuts from the general fund.
That is correct. Those are cuts from the Arizona General Fund, but they are part of the what we call the general and education budget at the university. And it's important to know that while the average across our three institutions since the 2008, prior to the big cuts of fiscal 09, is net positive a tiny amount, about $800 unadjusted for inflation. The University of Arizona, before the current budget cuts, was more than $2,400 in the negative from the per student dollars that we were able to spend in fiscal 08.
All right, we're going to have to wrap it up with Dr. Ann Weaver Hart, who has a very busy week ahead of her. She always has a very busy schedule, and this weekend's going to bring a lot of people to campus for the Festival of Books. A lot of people are going to maybe see the U of A for the first time.
Absolutely. The tents are there on the mall.
They are.
A lot of excitement, and don't expect to come late and get a parking place.
There you go. Dr. Hart, thanks a lot for coming on the program. Very good timing having you on with all that's going on up at the legislature talking about higher education. Have a great week.
I will. You too.
Thank you very much. If you're looking for an outstanding auto mechanic, and everybody needs to have the number of a great auto mechanic available, I strongly recommend Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works. I've checked out Mike's operation, convenient Midtown location, one block south of Speedway on North Beverly. Check them out at perfectionautoworks.com. Thank you, Mike, for your support and all the support of the people who believe in the Buckmaster Show. Thank you to all the Facebook friends, going over 4,000 now friends of the Buckmaster Show. We did that this weekend. It's a milestone, and I'm very proud of it, and I'm proud of the work we do here. Coming up this afternoon, 4 Tucson at 4 with Mike Shaw. Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, 6 to 8. The Daily Double with Christy Simone from 8 to 9. Ed Alexander, our friend on the other side of the glass. Back with me, Bill Buckmaster, 12:04 tomorrow afternoon. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.